Welcome to the service of Whitesburg Baptist Church. God's Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. May this message be a blessing to you, challenge you, so that you will live for the glory of God. God bless you.
In this psalm, one of the things you're going to find is that Psalm 103, written by David in the latter years of his life, has not a single petition or request. Every bit of Psalm 103 are words of praise. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? I'm going to begin reading in verse 1, and you follow along, and I'm going to read the entirety of Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. By the way, if I get to one of these that you want to shout about, it's okay for you to shout about it. Are you ready? Let's start over in verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and who remember his precepts to do them. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his host, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise God. Let's give him glory this morning and thank God for his wonder and his might and his grace. You can be seated this morning. If you were to take the psalm and you were to divide it up in the way that David does, really, you would go through the first five verses, and what the singer does is he sings about the glory of God. And then beginning in verse 6 and going through verse 19, what David does is he magnifies the attributes of God. And then in verse 20, 21, and 22, what David does is he calls everyone and everything to praise the living God. So he sings about it, he magnifies the attributes of God, and then he calls all of us to do the very same thing. Well, this morning, what I want to do is I want to help us begin this journey through Psalm 103, because today's message is an introductory message that helps us to lay the foundation for the next several weeks so that you can know what you have when you have Jesus. Because sometimes we forget what we have when we have the Lord in our life. So if you're in a dry spot, if you find yourself spiritually in need of God to do something for you, to help you be everything that you need to be, and rather than enduring the Christian life, you begin to enjoy your Christian pilgrimage, I believe there are two things that this text teaches us in verses 1 and 2. I think, first of all, what David says is that you have the need to focus on, listen, here it is, a vibrant worship of God. Look at verse 1 and see what he says. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now this word, bless the Lord, is not an encouragement or a suggestion. It is actually a command. One of the things I hear people say sometimes, Rick, you know, Pastor, I just don't feel like singing. Or I don't like singing. Well, I do believe that there are times that God speaks to people's heart and people just need to be still before God and listen. Have you ever been there in a worship service where something was being sung and God just gets all over you and you feel like the best thing for you to do is bow your head or kneel or simply sit down and let God speak into your life? I think that's more than appropriate. But I think when we look at it on the large basis, can I say to you that if you're struggling spiritually, if you find yourself in a dry spot, that praising the Lord is not something we do out of how we feel. It is an obedient act out of what we know, and that is that God is worthy to be praised. And I want to tell you something. If you find yourself in a spot where your soul is dry and your spirit needs encouragement, one of the things that needs to happen in your life is for there to be a vibrancy in worship. I never forget this. My buddy Steve Levy, who pastors the Mount Pleasant Church in Swansea, Wales on the Kingsway, it's the only building that wasn't destroyed by bombing in World War II. It's a historic building that he pastors in. But Steve was telling me one day as a teenage boy how he was impacted by an elderly man in the church. Now, some of you older folks out there, you don't realize how important your worship is to everyone around you. But Steve said that he was sitting in church one day, and he was a teenager, and he was really bored. Can you imagine, Rick, a teenager being bored in church? And he was sitting there, and this elderly gentleman was sitting near him. And as Steve was sitting there, and he was just really just bored and wondering when this thing was going to get over with, he looked over, and that older gentleman, forgive me for saying this, but he had some drainage from his nose that was beginning to drip out of his nose. And the first thing Steve thought was, man, this is disgusting, wouldn't you? But then he said, I realized something. The older gentleman was so engrossed in the praise and the worship of the living God that he hadn't even noticed that he needed to wipe his nose. And it was at that moment that Steve realized something. The problem is me. I'm not worshiping. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Now when he says, O my soul, you know what the soul is, don't you? You know, the word for soul, we understand that it means to breathe. And we understand that when David talks about the breath of God, we remember that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, that God breathed the breath of life into man. We remember in John 20, when Jesus was with his disciples, that Jesus breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you what sometimes we need is a fresh wind of the breath of Almighty God to blow in our lives. And I'm telling you that one of the ways that that happens is when you have a vibrant worship. And that vibrant worship is done two ways. First of all, it's corporate. When we gather here on Sunday mornings, it's not so that you can be the observer. It's so that you, together with all of us, can look to heaven. We are not the audience. God is. Amen? And so with that in mind, what I want to encourage you is that worship, when you come to worship, I hope that you'll get yourself ready. I hope that you'll be thinking about, I am here to praise the living God. And parents, I want to tell you something. The way that you worship will impact the way that your children worship. Now, everybody worships differently. Not everybody's expressive, and they don't need to be. But I'll tell you what you do need to be. You do need to be focused and engaged on why we come and who we come for. We come for Him. Amen? So I want to encourage you that corporate worship is so valuable. But I want to speak to you about another kind of worship. We need to have vibrant worship, not only corporately, but we need to have vibrant worship personally. If you're not spending time daily, I know that you've been taught a long time how to have a quiet time. But let's be honest. Sometimes life interferes with our plans. And sometimes the disciplines of having a daily walk with God, where we spend time reading the Word, we spend time praying, we spend time crying out to Him, sometimes it goes by the wayside. I want to encourage you to have a vibrant, personal, spiritual worship of the living God. What we do when we gather on Sunday should be the overflow of what you've been experiencing every single day of the week. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And then he says, and all that is within me. Now, he uses the word all, and the last time I checked in the Bible, it means everything, all. And so when David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, he's saying that there ought to be this visceral kind of vibrancy in our worship where we are giving God our mind, we're giving God our eyes, we're giving God our heart, we're giving God our voice, we're giving God our souls, we're giving Him what? Everything. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. David knew the power of corporate praise, and David knew the power of personal praise. The obsession, O my soul. So David says to us, if you want to cultivate a hunger and a thirst for the living God, it comes when you have a fresh vision of who God is. And the place that we get a fresh vision of God can begin when you and I make corporate and personal private worship such a priority in our life that we are dearly focused on giving everything that we are to bless the Lord. What does it mean to bless the Lord? To bless is related to consecrate. Both imply an act of recognizing or declaring and devoting something to have a particular purpose or holiness. If a father blesses his son's decision, we mean that the father supports and acknowledges the decision. In Catholicism, if a priest blesses a marriage, he declares with approval of the whole church. In the case of the Catholic and Orthodox priest, the marriage is to be approved, valid, and holy. When we lay hands on someone to ordain them in a Baptist church, we are saying as a church that we are blessing them with the church's approval, that we recognize the call of God for service in their life. At the end of the service, during the invitation, we're going to have people come forward that we're praying over who are going out on mission trips. We have a young lady that's going to be a career IMB missionary that's going to be here this morning. We're going to be saying as a church, we bless you. We approve of what God God is doing through you. And when you and I bless the Lord, we're saying, God, we acknowledge the worthiness and greatness of your name to be praised. If you want to have a dynamic spiritual journey, walk with God, it begins with your worship. So how do I have that fresh vision? You do so by having vibrant worship in your life. I want to ask you to do two things. If you're married, how many of you are married? Raise your hand. How many of you want to be married? Raise your hand. No, don't do that. I want to ask you, men and women, if you're married, I want to tell you something that is the most precious thing to Vicky and I. And that is when you pray with your spouse. If you're not in the practice of spending time praying with your spouse, I want to ask you to make a commitment that for the next 7 days, you're going to commit that you're going to pray with your spouse. That doesn't have to be an elongated prayer. It doesn't have to be, you know, the thous and these and all. Be real about it. And it may be that if you're uncomfortable with it, it just starts with a prayer that says, hey, look, I'm headed to work. Let's just pray. And you hold her hand and say, Lord, I pray that you bless my wife. I pray that today we'll honor you and that you'll help our marriage be everything you want it to be. That may be right where you start. But I want to ask every married couple to make the commitment that you will pray together every single day. Whether it's in the morning, whether it's over the telephone as you go to work, or whether it's at night when you go to bed, whatever it is, I want to ask you to pray with your spouse. Here's the second thing. I want to ask you to find one other person in this church, not your spouse, but someone of the same gender. That means if you're female, you find a female. If you're male, you find a male. And what I want you to do is I want you to find one person in this church that you commit that once a week you're going to pray with that person. But I want to tell you something. When God's people begin to pray together, God begins to impact everything. So you're going to pray with your spouse and you're going to pray with somebody. It doesn't have to be elongated. It doesn't have to be these long manufactured prayers. But I want to tell you what it'll do. It'll begin to change your worship. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and everything that is within me. Vibrant worship. But then he goes in verse 2 and he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Now, not only do you need a vibrant worship to cultivate hunger and thirst for God, but I'll tell you what else you need. You need a vivid memory. When we talk about vibrant worship, we're talking about the power of praise to change the course of our spiritual lives. When we talk about a vivid memory, we're talking about the power of story to impact somebody's life. I want to tell you something. We've lost the art of storytelling. Today, everybody's accustomed to getting on their iPhone or their smart device or their tablet or their computer, and we're not even reading all the articles anymore. We just read the headlines. And as a result of that, what happens is we don't get all of the information. But I want to tell you something. When somebody begins to tell a story, oftentimes it's that story that rivets us to what's taking place. Can I encourage you about something? David said, forget not. So if you're not going to forget what God has done for you, the benefits of the Lord, you've got to have a vivid memory, because there are going to be those moments in your life that God seems to be like sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal and you don't know where he is. And the only thing you're going to have to reach back to is a memory of how God worked in your past, to believe that God can work in your present, to have faith that God is going to work in your future. I mean, if you study the book of Deuteronomy, the word for the book of Deuteronomy is remember, remember, remember. And then God gave them the Passover that became for us the Lord's Supper. Why? Not so that we would forget, but that we might do what, church? Remember the Lord's death until he comes. I tell you something. There are things in my life that God has done that I'll never forget. There are things that God has done in my life that are the things that remind me today to keep on when I want to give up. They're the things that remind me of the greatness and the goodness of God. There are things that I see God do. I'll never forget preaching one time, and I was preaching about salvation, and this man stood up right in the back, Brother Jimmy, and he began to shout out, "Somebody help me! Somebody help me! Somebody help me!" I want to tell you something. You get a man that convicted of his sin and need for Jesus Christ, it'll stir you on in preaching and remind you why you preach when nobody responds sometimes. I'll never forget the moment when God used a seminary professor by the name of Roy Fish to speak into my life in such a powerful way that I've never forgot how God used him in that moment. What is the vivid memory in your life where you saw God do something that no one can explain, but you know it was God, and it's that thing that you never want to forget what God has done? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not his benefits. You need vibrant worship, but you also need a vivid memory. Last night I received a phone call from a sweet young lady. Her husband was very dear to me. And we ordained him as a deacon, and I talked with him about his call to ministry, and he ended up being on the staff of the church I pastored in Chattanooga after I left. A little over a year ago, at the age of 40, he died of a heart attack. No health problems, no signs of anything. And she's struggling. So last night on the telephone, I began to ask her the question, Let's talk about what has God done even in the midst of this tragedy. And she began to tell me where she saw God at work. I want to tell you what began to happen. Her whole demeanor, her whole attitude, her whole spirit began to change as she recognized all that God had been doing in her life. Sometimes one of the greatest things that we can have is a very good memory to remember that our God is a good, good Father. You want to know how to cultivate a hunger and thirst for God? You do so with vibrant worship, and you do it with a really vivid memory. The scripture says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits." There's a question that we often ask. Lord, why is this happening to me? Or sometimes we say, Lord, can you not take this away? I remember when Vicki and I were in seminary and our little girl had been very sick. She was a little bitty thing. And a doctor told us at that time that she had cystic fibrosis. We didn't have Google back then. I didn't know really what cystic fibrosis was. I couldn't get on the internet and look it up. And Vicki and I were young. We were in our early 20s and we were scared. And I remember praying, and I remember vividly as God, in his power and grace, chose to either heal our daughter or that doctor made a mistake. But our daughter doesn't have cystic fibrosis. It is a vivid memory that I have of how God worked in an amazing way in the life of our daughter. Now, I got to be honest, I wouldn't want her to go through that. And sometimes we need to ask a different question. Not, Lord, will you take this away? Not, why is this happening to me? But maybe the question that we need to be asking is, what is the instrument that God is using in my life to drive me back to Himself? I want you to listen to me very closely. Sometimes we spend so much energy and time trying to make life easier for people. We spend so much energy trying to make sure our children don't face obstacles in their life. Sometimes we don't want any hardships to come our way, but sometimes the grace and mercy of God brings into our lives things that drive us to God, because otherwise we wouldn't be drawn to Him. We would drift away from Him. Can I get a witness? Everybody know what I'm talking about? What is the instrument right now that God is using in your life to drive you back to Him? Interesting verse of scripture in Luke chapter 19. Jesus is coming from Bethpage and Bethany over the Mount of Olives, down the Kidron Valley into Jerusalem to the temple. I'll be there in November. And when He's coming over the Mount of Olives, the people, do you remember what they did? They began to praise Him. They began to praise God and shout praises to the living God. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees said to Jesus, "You tell these people to be quiet." And Jesus responded by saying to them, "If they are silent, then what will cry out? The rocks will cry out." We often stop right there. But there's another verse, and it's that when Jesus gets into the city, the Bible says, Jesus wept. Listen to it. Jesus answered, "I tell you that if these become silent, the stones will cry out." And when He approached Jerusalem, He saw the city and He wept over it. Why? Because the city and its people had drifted and didn't recognize Him as the Christ. You want to cultivate hunger and thirst in your life for the living God. You get a fresh vision of who God is when you worship Him vibrantly, and when you have a memory that is so vivid, it revitalizes your soul, because God has been